Hey friends, welcome back to another Seed Talk with Lisa and Lane. Hey Lane.
Hello. Hi everybody.
And we have such a special guest today. My good friend, Dave Dowling. Hey Dave.
Hi Lisa and Lane. How you doing?
Hi.
We're happy because guess what? I just spent the last 30 minutes between meetings doing. I tilled a garden. It is dry enough. And my juices are flowing now. So now I'm really, really happy.
Playing in the dirt always feels good.
Yes, always good. So we're just really happy to have Dave here with us today with a great topic. We're going to talk eucalyptus. And he is hot out of Australia. So that would be like a perfect topic. But before we jump in, I just want everybody to know that we'll have a lot of show notes to go along with this, with any links that are mentioned here for you to find anything. And this podcast is brought to you by thegardenersworkshop.com, where you can find a lot more resources, a whole library of online courses, as well as our garden shop that is fully stocked with all the seeds, tools, and supplies that you hear us mention on our podcast. So Lane, let's just jump right in. What are we going to be talking to Dave about today?
We're going to be talking about everything to do with eucalyptus. And we're also going to be joined a little later in the show by two koalas. No, I'm just kidding. They got excited. They looked excited. But yeah, I think enough said. We're going to be talking about eucalyptus and we're so excited to have Dave here. Dave, can you just tell everyone a little bit about your background?
Yeah, my name is Dave Dowling. I had a cut flower farm in Maryland for 20 years and closed it almost 10 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, and went to work for Edney Flower Bulb in New Jersey, selling flower bulbs to cut flower growers. And then after I was there a few years, the Fred C. Glockner Company bought Edney, so then I could sell seeds and plugs and all kinds of stuff. And then 2 years ago, it's been Glockner sold the company to Ball Seed, which now I work for Ball Seed. I work remote from home. I live in Delaware. And I deal with customer accounts for cut flower growers all across the U.S. And I also have the online class with the Gardener's Workshop, bulbs, woodies, perennials, and more.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being here. Okay, we're going to get started. All right, Dave. So why is eucalyptus worth growing for farmers and for home gardeners?
Well, for the cut flower farmers, it's a great foliage. It goes with anything. It's that light silvery gray color, kind of a little bluish green. You can use with any flower you grow. There's nothing that doesn't go with. It's versatile, comes in several different leaf forms, you know, small leaf, big leaf. I don't want to say floppy, but more flowing, more movement to it. Some are more stiff. And if you're in the right zone, or it's growing in a tunnel, it'll come back every year. And every year it gets bigger and better. And the other thing is eucalyptus that's shipped in to the wholesalers from wherever, usually Southern California, is shipped in boxes without water and sometimes sits in the wholesaler for a long time in those boxes without water. And you have a much better, fresher product locally grown. And for the home gardeners, it's great. It's a great filler in a mixed container, like a landscape plant. You can grow it for the year right next to your other petunias and impatiens, whatever else you have in the garden. And then if you're a warm zone, it'll come back. If not, you just grow it as an annual. And it does great.
Lisa, anything to say about that?
Yeah, so it's for us, it'll puff up any bouquet. I mean, Dave is right. It's like if you're a flower farmer, not only would you have a like incredible demand from your commercial customers, not to and straight bunches for supermarkets, but it's just great to have one stick to put in each bouquet because it's that silvery gray color. It's just different. It creates texture. And I have really become a huge fan of, is it Parvula gum? Is that right?
Yes. How you say it?
I'm telling you, it's an evergreeny kind of, it's a different color and it's a small leaf and it just really does great. And, you know, I'm here on the cusp of zone USDA zone 7B/8A. Literally, I live on the line. So it just depends on which way the wind's blowing. And I follow Dave's instructions and we winter it over out in the garden with care, which I'm sure we're going to talk about here sometime, but it is possible and it's definitely worth it. They're so much better the second year. So I think it's really worth growing.
Yeah. And I'm a really big foliage person. I love eucalyptus by itself in a vase as well. I feel like Lisa and I say that a lot, but yeah, definitely with eucalyptus.
Yes.
Okay. So where in the world does most eucalyptus seed come from? And can you talk about the very sad cause of the seed shortage over the past few years?
Yeah. Well, the eucalyptus seed, for the most part, comes from the land of koalas in Australia. And yeah, there's no other way to put it. It basically grows big, huge trees down there. But the thing is, I don't know of any seed companies that actually grow it on purpose, so to speak. It's more collected in the wild, where it's more grown out in the wild, as opposed to like a snapdragon is grown by crossbreeding them and its greenhouse conditions. The eucalyptus is still grown out in the wild or outdoors. And it's been, I think, 4 years ago when Australia had a lot of wildfires, just like we often have in the western part of the U.S., and it destroyed a bunch of the plants or damaged a lot of the plants, so they didn't have any seeds for several years. There was like two full years where there was literally no seed available unless it was old stock that a supplier may have had. And then a couple of varieties have become available. And the one everybody wants, the variety commonly called Silver Drop, Gunny is the botanical name. It's supposed to be available this August. I'm just hoping that it really will become available again in August. So we'll have it to grow for 2024. To me, is the best one.
Yes.
Do you think the supply has started to normalize for the seed yet? Is it starting to come back and recover?
Yes, because the ones that are available now are still available. In other words, it's not selling out as soon as they come into the warehouse. It's available to buy it if you didn't order it 10 months in advance. So that has gotten better.
And you said the seed is typically collected from trees growing out in the wild as opposed to something like a eucalyptus farm?
As far as I know, if they just go out and collect them from trees that are planted outdoors, I don't think they're like you see an apple orchard to grow apples. I don't think they're planted that way to grow the eucalyptus seed. As far as I know, that's just pretty much wild gathered.
Okay. And for your farm, Dave, when you had your flower farm, did you start eucalyptus from seed or did you buy plugs?
I bought in plugs because eucalyptus is kind of like lisianthus. It takes 12 weeks to get a plant that's a half inch tall. And it's much easier to buy in plugs. Just make sure you order them far in advance so they have time to grow them for you. If you do want to grow your own, you can. There's a picture on the screen of, I think that's Lisa who grew some from seed.
Yep.
But she'll tell you that's probably a 12-week-old plant, if not more, sitting there in her hand. They're very slow to grow. And even after you plant them out in the field, you plant a plant that big the first week of May, it's not going to be more than double that by the end of June. It's very slow to grow at first. And then in July and August, when it gets really warm, they'll grow much faster.
Yeah, I definitely agree, Dave. So I want to just mention too, if y'all are listening to this on a podcast app, hooray. However, over on YouTube, Lane has a beautiful slideshow to go along with this podcast. And yes, that is me holding the 2-inch soil block with a eucalyptus that was actually started in a small block. And that's probably 12 to 14 weeks old, ready on its way to go to the garden. And that was back in the days when we had Silver Drop. That's how old that picture is. It's probably 4 years old. I don't count on it as a crop to actually harvest it, growing it out in the field the way that I grow it until, as Dave mentioned, like late summer and fall. So we just kind of plan around that. And then it's a bonus if I manage to winter some over.
Right, because if it overwinters, it's amazing. You can start picking it at the end of June, much earlier the second year.
And much more of it.
Yes.
It's really, really great. And, you know, Lane, your question from seed or from plug, you know, most of us flower farmers try to start everything from seed just because we think we're supposed to, and secondly, because of cost. And, you know, eucalyptus is easier to me than lisianthus is, but hearing from Jenny Love, Lisa, nobody grows that from seed. You have got to buy plugs, kind of helped liberate me. And then Dave saying it. So I think people should be very willing to just buy the plugs, be successful, and move on.
Right.
But if you are a home gardener, seed is an option. And I don't think it's that difficult of a seed to start. It's just that it takes a long
very
time
slow,
to grow. Right. Yes, exactly.
And usually independent garden centers will have them as a little 3-inch pot. Usually not the big box stores, but independent garden centers usually do have them in with their other, either with their herbs sometimes, or just in with their annuals, where they would have ivy or other green plants.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, Dave. So how long does it typically take from sowing the seed to first harvest?
Well, like I was saying, it takes about 12 weeks to get a plant big enough to plant out in the field. So that's why if you were to order in plugs to get shipped to you the last week of April, you're ready to plant in the field, or you would have to start this back in January if you want to start your own. So once you plant it in the field, the very first year, you're not going to get anything big enough to cut, usually until sometime in early to mid-August. And then you can start picking. And the other thing to remember is eucalyptus then really starts growing in July and August when it's really warm. But about mid-September, it stops growing. It just sits there after that. It's still there, good to pick until you've had a hard freeze, but it's not really going to grow anymore after about mid-September.
Okay, that's good to know. Since it is such a slow grower, are there any regions where the growing season is so short that it's really not worth growing eucalyptus?
Not that I know of. I know people that grow it in Maine, and I know someone in Ontario that grows it. Ontario grower, she does some inside a tunnel and also outside in the field. It's just that the longer your growing season, the more you can harvest off it. Like I said, it usually stops growing in mid-September, but if you have a lot of plants, you can pick on that till Thanksgiving if you haven't had a hard freeze.
So people with short growing seasons can still pick. It's just they won't be able to pick off of it for as long of a time as someone
correct
with a longer growing
yeah season. And if they have the way to do it, they could get plugs ordered to come into them in early March, pot them up, grow them on so they have a bigger plant to plant out in probably sometime in May if you're farther north.
Yeah. Great idea.
And Lane, I think another point, particularly for people that have a shorter growing season, is to have nice size transplants to go out into the garden. And so we here, so my last frost date is mid-April. And so we start our eucalyptus. It is literally the first seed we start in January. I mean, the first working day in January following the holidays, we start eucalyptus so that we have the biggest, nicest plants. And all those little steps kind of help you get it just a little bit sooner.
Yeah. Okay. This is a question we get very commonly. Why do I have what we call rogue eucalyptus seedlings? So people start their seed, and as the seedlings start growing, they realize some of these seedlings are not like the others. Yeah.
Right.
So what are these rogue seedlings? And also, should people plant them out or discard them?
I would still grow them. There's no such thing as a bad eucalyptus. So it might be a slightly different variety, but go ahead and grow it. If you recognize that it's different when you're planting them, you might go ahead and plant it at the end of the bed so it's off by itself. But it just happens because the way they're collecting the seeds in the wild and might not be cleaning their buckets as clean in between or the machines that are counting. And there's some odd seeds that get in the next batch.
So this is just a part of growing any type of eucalyptus seed, any variety. This is just something to make you aware
of. There's always going to be a few that are the wrong variety, but it's still an okay variety to grow.
Okay, that's really good to know. So how should eucalyptus plants be spaced when you go to plant them, and how large do they grow in a single season?
Right. I like to do them with about 12-inch spacing. You can use the support netting as a guide and just plant one in every fourth hole if you count that way. You don't really need the support once they're established. Sometimes young plants will get kind of top heavy and they're 2 feet tall and they want to fall over. Netting would help them, but it's really not necessary. And in 1 year, I've seen plants. There's a grower here in Maryland near me last summer had plants that were 7 feet tall end of August from freshly planted plants. So it all depends how long your season is. She was able to plant them in early April because she's in the warmer area of Maryland and it had a long time to grow. So they can get 6 feet tall the first year. Now, when they come back the second year, they can be 10 or 15 feet tall if you don't cut them back.
Yeah. Would these eucalyptus eventually turn into trees if you left them?
They would end up being trees. They would end up having one main stem that goes up and there would be side branches like a tree.
Wow. Lisa, how big would yours typically get in a single season?
Ours, freshly planted in the current year, about 36 inches, 36 to 48 inches. And I tend to harvest the central stem fairly early. And so we get several cuts. And Dave, why does eucalyptus lay down? I mean, from the get-go. I mean, I'm not talking even top heavy.
I don't know. You'd have to ask the plant. I have no idea, but I know what you mean. They kind of grow horizontal to begin with. That would be, to me, the only reason you do use netting to start out. But then when they come back the second year, they grow straight up. There's none of that.
Yeah.
So and I think it just has a weak stem to begin with.
So they kind of grow out of it, it seems like.
Yeah.
I was out there trying to stand them all up, and firming them into the ground. But when I cut so I just thought it was just me, but I understand other people find it too.
Yeah.
All right. So what is the proper harvest stage for eucalyptus? And is it different if you're harvesting for fresh versus dried use? And is there any special conditioning you need to do?
Okay. Eucalyptus, you want to make sure that the upper leaves are kind of formed. If it's too fresh and young, the tips are going to wilt, especially in the the variety called Silver Dollar or Cinerea, because that has the big leaf. If you've ever seen in the craft stores, we have the dried eucalyptus, often the tips are cut off. And that's because the tops were too young to pick and dry. So if you're drying them, quite often that's going to go bad, the very tip, so that gets cut off. And usually also, if you're drying it to have it look really presentable for a flower arrangement, it's dried using glycerin, where you put it in a mixture of glycerin to preserve the plants.
All right.
But the trick is to harvest it when the plants are mature. That's why you can't start picking them in June from the first year of planting. They're just not mature enough, and the leaves are still haven't gotten that leathery paper feel to them.
So once the leaves start to have that leathery sort of feel, that's when it's okay to start harvesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing is, like the silver drop variety, the leaves are much smaller and more tender looking. And I always like to pick those the day before. And then sometimes you might have one stem that wilted and just pull that one out and throw it away. As far as post-handling, I always like to pick them into just fresh water. I didn't use preservative in it, and leave it out of the cooler for a few hours to hydrate, and then put it in the cooler, and it would sit in the cooler for a week and still be perfect.
Lisa, do you have any tips about harvesting?
So the image that we're looking at, that is Silver Dollar on the left, which you can see that yes. has bigger brackets and it's more silvery. And there on the right is my favorite child. That is the Parvula gum with its yep. smaller, just a different shape. Now that I'm sitting here looking at them side by side, they have different structure to their leaves in right. addition to being smaller and greener. And like Dave said, I mean, it's all a matter of looking for those leaves that are very mature, and all right. those that are above it that aren't are likely going to wilt. I do find that Parvula gum, as well as Silver Dollar, and I think maybe it's because their foliage, their leaf is smaller, they don't tend to do that as much as Silver Dollar is really bad about.
Right. Yes. Well, the other thing to remember when you're picking stems of anything, whether it's flowers or foliage, is you can't leave too much foliage right. on the stem, because that stem can only take up so much water, and you can't have one little skinny stem that's smaller than a pencil hydrating, you know, 15 right. branches on that big tall stem.
Right.
So you sometimes have to strip yeah. off more of the leaves so it's able to hydrate what's left on the stem.
That's a great point. So yeah, I mean, I am always preaching about take more foliage off that flower right. stem, and it is so hard when it's a foliage to remove, but if it's not going to contribute, yeah. So that's a good point, Dave. Good.
Yeah. Okay. This might be a little difficult to quantify, but how many plants should a farmer have, and how many plants should a home gardener have, or how many plants yeah. do you think they need?
Right. Well, for a farmer, it all depends on what you think you can sell. And I always like to say, plant more than you think you can sell, and then work a little harder to sell it. And that's how you pay your bills. sell more than you think you need. But a typical, if you're buying plugs or even starting seeds, you're usually going to have at least 50 plants in a tray, sometimes 100, sometimes 128, depending on the grower. But if I was a cut flower farmer, at least 100 or 200 plants, because once that eucalyptus is ready and it's ready to harvest and sell and use, you're going to want it, your florist will want to buy it from you every week. And the worst thing you can do is have to say, no, I don't have any more to sell to you.
Yeah.
So you better have too much. And also, it doesn't go bad on the plant. It's not like a sunflower. If you don't sell it when it's ready, it's gone bad. If you haven't picked the eucalyptus, it's going to sit there until you come back next week and pick it again. It's also something that's great if you want to take a week or two off from the farm. The eucalyptus is going to just sit there. You're not going to lose anything because you didn't get it harvested.
That's a really good point. Lisa, yeah. how many plants did you tend to grow?
Well, we would grow a 100-foot bed, and we've spaced them like Dave's. I was just sitting here. We do a double row. Our beds are 30 inches wide. We would do two rows and a 100-foot bed, 12 inches apart. So basically 200 plants.
Right.
And yeah. You never had enough. I mean,
right. yeah.
if you were making a lot of bouquets, those bouquets eat foliage like a teenage boy when they're hungry, you know?
Right. I mean, and a mixed bouquet should be a third foliage to begin with. It shouldn't yes. be all just flowers. So you yes. need to grow the eucalyptus. And for the home gardener, you know, it depends if they're going to be picking a lot or they just want to have it in the garden to enjoy it. Or some people take them yeah. put it in the shower for their aromatherapy.
Mm-hmm.
Two or three plants is usually enough. And like I said before, you can usually get that at a real garden center in the spring. And just, you know, buy three or four plants and put them in your garden, and you have a lot for cutting for a home gardener.
Yeah. Okay. This is another one that might be a little difficult to quantify, but how productive are eucalyptus plants? How many stems can someone expect to get off of a plant? How often mm-hmm. will they be able to cut?
I would say the first year plants are fairly productive. You're going to get a couple dozen stems off of it from the time you start harvesting in early August till, you know, to October and November when you're finished. But when they come back the second year, you're going to get 50 stems off of one plant. They're just huge and amazing production in future years. So that's why I always recommend, if you can get them to overwinter, no matter where you're growing, get them to overwinter. It's worth it to grow a tunnel full of just eucalyptus, and you'll make money off that tunnel every year and make more money the second and third subsequent years, because it doesn't just come back one year. It comes back year after year after year. You might have a few plants that die back or die out, but the plants are getting bigger, so it'll fill in any empty spaces where a plant might have died.
So I wanted to say, first off, what a great picture of us, Lane.
I know.
That is a good picture.
Great picture.
Yeah.
I want that picture.
This is a behind the scenes of us trying to get the Seed Talk podcast image. And we're crouching, we're both squatting down in front of a fence to make sure only the wood is visible and not the sky.
And so I wanted to point out that plant you're showing is, and I think we lost it this year, that is my last silver drop. That's actually two plants. And it's where our beds are no longer. And so we have protected it every year, but I think the polar blast this past year actually took it out, but it grew over 8 foot tall on its second year. I mean, we cut so many stems off of this thing. If it survives this year, that'll be a miracle.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing I want to point out. If you do overwinter, whether it's in the field or in a tunnel, you do need to cut them back before springtime. Mm-hmm. You don't want to start with a plant that's 5 feet tall and that's going to be 10 feet tall this year. So you want to cut them down. I usually like to say shin or knee high sometime in the spring before they start to put out new growth.
Okay, that's good to know. So where can eucalyptus be grown as a perennial? Do you know which hardiness zones don't have to overwinter with added protection or anything?
Yeah, in zone 8B, they should overwinter without any problem. If you have a really, really nasty cold spell, it might kill off the leaves, but it would still grow back from the trunk. If you're in zone 6 and 7, you can usually overwinter them out in the field by cutting them down to knee high, bury them with straw or shredded leaves and put plastic over them. So it keeps them kind of from being too wet, but also just insulates the soil. Sometimes they may even die back to the ground level, but they grow back from the root right at the surface of the, at the base of the trunk. And you'll still get a great plant from that.
Okay, perfect. That was going to be my next question about overwintering. So you answered that already. Lisa, did you do anything to overwinter your silver drop when you've been maintaining it?
We pretty much did what Dave just described. We would cut it back to about 12 inches tall, and then we would just pile it deep with leaves, bury it literally. And then I double row covered it with we get lightweight row cover. And I hadn't thought about using plastic, Dave, to block the water. But anyway, that worked really, really well. And I'm just sitting here thinking maybe our silver dollar will grow back.
Yeah, silver dollar, the Cinerea is a little bit hardier than the silver drop.
Oh, I meant silver drop. Yeah, so silver drop is who I'm trying to save.
Okay.
All of my last year's eucalyptus, all so far, the majority, 70% of the crop has been double row covered and made it through the polar blast. And I will say, my favorite child looks like it has more foliage than any of the others. So it didn't really it didn't do too badly at all through that cold spell we had.
Oh, good.
Good.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about varieties. We're going to start with some of the ones that we offer at the Gardener's Workshop. First up is the silver drop that we've been talking about. Can you talk about that, Dave?
Yeah, silver drop is, the botanical name is Gunny, G-U-N-N-I-I. So make sure if you're buying from a seed company that is listed as silver drop Gunny. But it's the one that's a smaller leaf. The leaves are attached to the stems, but they're small, not much bigger than your thumbnail, as opposed to silver dollars, the size of a silver dollar are bigger. It's much more flowing, has more movement. It's kind of like if you shake it, it wiggles a little bit. And it's also the leaves, because they're smaller, they don't overpower a bouquet. So you can use those in the teeniest little, you see the little cube arrangement that's only good, you know, a 3-inch cube of glass with little short flowers in it. This will work in it. But sometimes the silver dollars is too big and chunky for that. But silver drop by far is the best. And the other thing with silver drop, I don't know of any wholesaler that brings it in from the wholesale places, you know, the big growers in California, because it does not survive. It doesn't work packed in a box. It just crushes it and it doesn't rehydrate because the leaves are smaller. So if you're growing for your local florist or your local wholesaler, I would definitely go with the silver drop, because it's something they can't get from the big commercial growers.
Hmm.
Lisa, any comments on Silver Drop?
Yep, it's my favorite. It's the one that won me over for eucalyptus all those years ago. And as Dave said, it just fits perfectly with whatever way you want to use it. And I do find that it's easier to hide, not easier, it hydrates well. And it just fits. I love multitasking crops mm-hmm. that can be used in a lot of different ways. And Silver Drop is certainly one of them. Yeah. And you can only get the seed.
Right. And when those plants overwinter, they're very productive. I used to have a bed that was maybe 45 feet long by 3 feet wide. And we would pick at least six or eight buckets a week out of there. And I'm talking the black buckets are tall, packing them full every week from late June till Thanksgiving. So it definitely pays their way.
Yeah. So they're worth the effort.
Silver Drop seems to be everyone's favorite.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I'm just worried that when the seed does come in stock, it's going to disappear right away. And it might take a year to get Silver Drop back in the stock with excess seed.
Yeah. So if you see it available, everyone out there, grab it.
Place your order as soon as you can. Yeah. But don't buy more than you need. Don't buy 50,000 seeds if you don't need that many.
Yes. Yeah.
Share them.
It'll be like the toilet paper crisis.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was going to say two rolls.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. How about Silver Dollar?
Yeah. The Silver Dollar you have in the picture, that's the one that's called Cineria, C-I-N-E-R-E-A. It also has the leaf stuck right to the stem. It's the one that you will see dried in a craft store, usually sometimes dyed purple and green in different colors. The tips sometimes will wilt on them, so they have to sometimes cut those out. The other thing is it's a much more sappy variety, if that makes sense. When you strip in the leaves, you're going to get sap on your fingers that's going to be there for weeks. So sometimes you want to wear gloves when you're stripping these leaves. With the Silver Drop, it's not sticky and gooey. It's almost like when you get pine tar on your fingers from Christmas trees, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It can be really sticky, but it is also one that has some of the strongest eucalyptus scent. So if you're using it for a scented, for a bathroom steam room kind of thing, it would be the best one to use for that.
Okay, good to know. Lisa, any comments about Silver Dollar?
Totally agree about the stickiness. and it was one of the seeds that's been readily available throughout, the shortage.
Yes.
And so we got a little bit more well acquainted with Silver Dollar than we had in the past. And it is definitely useful, particularly for our commercial customers that like to do big work. And it was very, very productive. And it also was held up really well through the winter for us here with that extra TLC that we actually gave it. But Silver Dollar is a keeper for sure.
Yeah. I'd say that between the Silver Dollar and the Silver Drop, the Silver Dollar works in altar arrangements or big hotel arrangements, where the mm-hmm. Silver Drop is more for the smaller vase size arrangement, like in your house.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Okay, Lisa, this is one that you have recently fallen in love with. Parvula gum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The parvula has a really small leaf. Again, the leaf is stuck right to the stem, but you can see how nice and full they can be. It's a great plant, similar to Silver Drop, the same kind of use. It's kind of a little bit of movement to it. But a great variety to grow.
Yeah, Lisa.
And it's just such a nice color. It's just a different shade of green. It's almost like that deep Christmas tree evergreen or something.
Yeah.
And I felt like if I had been in the bouquet making business when I was introduced to this, because I've only met this last year, the year before last, a lot of the side shoots can be used as a single stem by themselves.
Right.
So if you're careful, you can do that. But totally love Parvula gum. Really, really love it.
All right. Last up, we have another bigger leaf one, which is Lisa calls this Polyan. It's Polyanthemos.
Right. Yep.
Dave, go ahead.
Some places also call this Silver Dollar, which makes it look confusing. That's where you should always know the scientific name, which Polyanthemos is the scientific name for this one.
Yeah.
One thing that makes this one very different is the leaves aren't stuck to the stem. Each leaf has a little stem, kind of like a maple leaf, where you have the stem that then attaches to the trunk, so to speak. So it has a lot more movement. It shimmers in the wind. It's also a variety that's often used for garlands, because even if it wilts, it doesn't look wilted because the leaves kind of hang anyway. Whereas if you take the Silver Drop that's wilting, you can see that it's wilted because it's droopy. If this droopy, the leaves are kind of hang anyway. So you don't notice that it's wilting. That's what works really good for garlands.
Yeah. Lisa?
Love it. I love that, as Dave describes it, as shimmering. I just call it a dangler. It just, again, it's just a different color and a different shape, and it's really, really useful. And so it just adds a lot of great texture.
I think for our labels for this one, for the seed envelopes, Lisa, you were texting Dave and he suggested adding that the leaves dangle like earrings.
Oh, there you go. Yes. That's right.
See, he's also a poet, in case anybody didn't know that. Okay. And then I wanted to ask about a couple of other varieties that we actually don't sell. Baby blue.
Yep. Baby blue is like the silver dollar Sonera, where the leaves are stuck right to the stem, but the leaves are small, like the silver drop, but they're the sticky, more silver color, like the silver dollar. So it's kind of like a miniature silver dollar scenario.
All right. And then how about lemon bush?
Lemon bush, I wouldn't grow it. I've never had anybody who could get it to hydrate. It's a totally different kind of leaf. It's very soft leaf, long and skinny. It's just green. It's not the silvery gray color. And I don't know anyone who's ever gotten it to hydrate as a cut stem. It smells great. It smells like lemon pledge. It definitely has a lemon scent to it, but it's just not, in my opinion, useful as a cut green. It might be great in the landscape or in a plant, in a pot or something like that, but as far as cutting it, I don't recommend it.
Okay. Any experience with lemon bush, Lisa?
No, because when Dave said it doesn't make a good cut, I just go with what, you know, other people's experiences. So no, I've never grown. I can't imagine spending 12 weeks getting it up to a seedling, then finding this out.
Yeah. All right, Dave. So is there anything else you think people should know about eucalyptus or that you want to share about your trip to Australia?
Yeah. Well, there is one other variety that's called willow, which has long, skinny leaves that also kind of dangles. That's just another variety to grow, but the leaves are really long and thin, like a willow tree, but it's a eucalyptus. I was in Australia on vacation for 2 weeks back in January, and I got to admit, I didn't see a single eucalyptus tree. I was in the city of Sydney, and there's lots of trees and plants, but I did see a couple of them in the botanic gardens, but they're not planted in the streets and, you know, like we grow maple trees in the US, street trees. They just weren't in the city. They're out in the country. But other things with the eucalyptus, to me, is this, the biggest thing is if you have the opportunity to grow it, do your best to overwinter it, because you're going to love it the second year. Even if you weren't real crazy about it the first year, make sure you try and overwinter either in the tunnel or protecting it over the winter, because the second year it's going to blow your mind and fill your buckets and make you lots of money.
Hey, Dave, what about growing it in large containers and dragging the container into the winter? I mean, I've never tried it before.
You could, but it would be like a 20-gallon container, pretty big.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dave. We really appreciate it. How can people connect with you?
They can always find me. I'm on Instagram at Dave M. Dowling, or you can send me an email at ddowling@ballhort.com.
All right. Lisa, anything else to add?
Yeah, I appreciate all that insight, Dave, and information. And I'm kind of disappointed you didn't see any eucalyptus when you were in Australia. I just imagined it. But that's okay. That's okay. So thanks so much for joining us here. And friends, you can also find more about Dave's course that he does with us, bulbs, perennials, woodies, and more over at thegardenersworkshop.com. And I mean, Dave, his nickname is the walking encyclopedia. And it's an information-packed course. So we highly recommend you check it out, particularly if you're a flower farmer looking to up your game and expand your horizons. That is the next step for you. So friends, until we meet again, bye everybody.
Thank you.
Bye. And our hearts go out to everyone in Australia that's been affected by the wildfires and all the animals too, because we love them.
Yeah. And I was really looking forward to seeing the koala bears laying shut.
I know. I overpromised and underdelivered, but it's okay.
That's all right. All right, everybody. Ciao.
Bye. Bye-bye.